This morning, we're going to once again take a little pause from our study of the Gospel of Mark. Although I planned to pick up the study of this wonderful Gospel again this week, the Lord seemed to have other plans in mind, and I never was able to settle on that until He kind of directed me in a different way for our morning service this morning. As a church ministry, we have come face to face with the reality of change, last Sunday being the Lynch's last Sunday with us. And we as a church had to do something that is never easy for us, which is to say our goodbyes. I trust that in the weeks to come that you'll be praying for both Pastor Caleb and Carol, their family, as they pack up and they eventually move within the month of June, trusting that the Lord will give them a good time as they finish up their time here in Maine. But again, trust that the Lord will bless and that you'll continue to pray for them and be a support to them as they look to make that move later this month. But as you and I now, as a ministry, have to move forward in the time of change and season of change, there's a need for us to make sure that as we go through these times of transitions, that we do so in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord. Transitions are one of the most dangerous times in a church ministry, and God would have us, and I believe it's imperative that we as God's people learn how to handle those times of transitions with dignity and with grace. This morning, I want to take some time and look at several verses of Scripture and give us some principles that will help us to accept change graciously. None of us enjoy times and seasons of change. But there is a way for you and I to handle those in a way that pleases our God, or we can do such in a way that brings disrepute to the name and the testimony of our God. And so this morning, we want to look at God's word and see how we can handle those changes graciously. Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Then we'll take up our study together this morning. Our Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the joy that is ours to meet together, to be able to look into the Word of God, that Word which we know gives us all that we need for life and godliness, that covers every area of our lives that we have to face and endure, both the good and the difficult. So, Lord, we ask and pray that you would be with us now as we come to the study of your Word. Lord, that you would help us as a people to learn how to handle the changes that you bring into our lives, those changes which you ordain. And Lord, that we will learn to do so graciously. And Lord, we ask and pray that you would take these truths, none of which are new to us, but as we put them together in this way, we trust that, Lord, that you would help each and every one, that we might be to the praise and the honor and glory of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his all for us. And if he's done so, and if he loves us with an everlasting love as he says he does, and we know he does, then, Lord, I pray that you would help us to take your word today and apply it to the circumstances of our lives, because, Lord, we all face tragedies, difficulties, and changes. Lord, again, we're mindful of the Grants this morning and all the difficulty that they must feel within their heart for such a freak accident to have claimed the life of their grandson. Yet, Father, we know that he is in your presence. They will see him again. But Lord, we know that they need grace and strength today, just as we need your grace and strength today to handle the circumstances that come our way and which will come our way in days ahead. Because Lord, life does have its changes. Life has its ups and its downs, its difficulties, its days of great joy, but days of great sorrow. So Lord, we ask and pray your blessing upon our time tonight, today, in Jesus' name, amen. As we consider the concept of accepting the change that God brings our way graciously this morning, I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle James in James chapter 4 and verse 14. James writes and says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You and I live in days in which changes come. You and I go through this life and we cannot avoid the things that we must face. We cannot avoid the changes that God brings and He ordains, the tragedies, the difficulties that we must face. Things in this life have a tendency to change in a moment of time. And you and I have to be ready to accept those changes that God brings our way in a way that really does please Him. In the spirit that we go through, in the way that we deal with others through the process of these changes, Solomon reminds us in Ecclesiastes 3 that to everything there is a season. And there is a purpose to everything under the heavens. There are times in our lives where things are going in a direction that we want it to, and other times where God makes a change and causes us to go down a path that we never expected to walk down. And in those times, you and I must learn to accept God's work within our lives in a gracious fashion. We understand it is God who ordains all things in your life and mine. It is God who directs. We took the time last week to look at the very works of God, His decrees. It is God who ordains. It is God who directs. And God at times brings us to the place where we must walk through difficulties, changes, and tragedies of life. And the question is, how will we walk through those times? God, I believe, wants you and I to walk through them graciously. God wants us to walk through those ways in a way that would be defined as holy and well-pleasing unto Him with biblical dignity. How can you and I accept the changes that God has for us when they are hard? How can we do that graciously and with a loving spirit towards others? And that really is the theme of our study this morning. I want you to begin with me as we look at several different passages. Let's begin this morning in Proverbs chapter 3, if you would. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to begin with a familiar text as we begin to look at how we handle the tragedies of life, the changes of life in a gracious way. Proverbs chapter 3, familiar text, familiar verses, yet one that really does require much thought and much of our meditation. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I'm not sure, but like perhaps you, like me, grew up memorizing these kinds of verses, and these are one of the first verses that I can remember memorizing outside of the Romans Road in John 3:16, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's one of those verses that as a kid you memorized. It was constantly put before you. There's a point in time that we could probably say Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 forward and backwards and upside down, and we get it all right because we've had this verse within our mind for so long. Yet Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 helps us in the midst of times of change to understand how we deal with those changes with grace and dignity. Tragedies and sudden changes have their way of shaking us to the very core of our being. They remind us of how precious life is and how important it is to make our life count for God. I think about that phrase this morning again for the Grant family, as they're dealing with the loss of their grandson. How grateful they are to know that in these last little bit, he has taken the time to try to get his life back in right relationship with his God and in right relationship with his family. Our life is short. It is but a vapor, and things quickly vanish away. These times often will leave us confused. We ask questions like, why? Why do these tragedies happen? Why do we have to go through such changes? And yet I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves what God wants me to learn through such a change and difficulty within our life. If we're going to face our times of tragedy with dignity, if we're going to graciously handle and accept the changes of life, then you and I have to learn this first principle. And that is, folks, this: you and I must learn to trust even when we do not understand. God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You and I are called in the midst of life to trust in our God even when we do not understand. Changes come. Things are different now than they were just last week for us as a congregation and as a ministry. Some of us may not fully comprehend nor understand all the reasons behind the decisions that have been made. But folks, what I want you to recognize, in the midst of whatever change we go through in life, God wants you and I to learn to trust him even when I don't understand. That word trust is a wonderful word, and here's what it means. It literally means to roll your confidence upon. Where is my confidence today? Where am I trusting? Where am I putting my hope and my understanding? In my views, in my feelings, in my ways and my will? Or can I trust, roll my confidence upon my God? There are things that I go through in life that I just do not understand. There are things that I just cannot comprehend. There are things that just, in essence, folks, blow our minds. And in those times, I am called upon not to lash out, not to accuse. I am called upon to trust in my God for the things I don't comprehend and the things I don't understand. God wants us to trust him with all of our heart. Is God in control? Is God sovereign? All of us would say that. And folks, that's the right answer. Is God surprised by the tragedies and changes that come into our lives? And the answer there is no. Do we understand why these things are always so? And folks, the answer is, again, no, we don't. But God asks you and I to trust him when we do not understand. Will we place our confidence in God or allow that confidence in him to be shaken? Again, the problem is, and why we struggle in times of difficulty, in times of change, we struggle, folks, because we want to understand. And God did not tell you that you were responsible to understand. God said you're responsible to trust. It's difficult for us, but yet God desires that we learn to trust him even when we can't understand the reasons why. Let's not lose confidence in our God and stop trusting in him when things don't seem to go our way. Our confidence should not be shaken. Our confidence is found in God. We trust in the Lord. By the way, understanding is not a prerequisite for your trust. Sometimes we want to trust when I understand. Understanding is not the prerequisite for you trusting. God says, trust me with all of your heart. And by the way, don't lean to your understanding. Instead, in all your ways, acknowledge him, knowing that I will direct your paths. We are called to trust even when we don't understand. Would you turn with me now to the book of Philippians, please? Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to look with me, if we could, at verses 4 through 7. How do we handle the changes of life graciously? How do we walk in biblical dignity in the times in which our heart is broken and we don't comprehend what's going on. Verses 4 through 7 tell us that we're to rejoice in the Lord, even though our heart desires to weep. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 4 tells us very clearly that you and I are called upon in these days to rejoice in the Lord, even when our heart would weep. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. God calls upon you and me to find our joy in Him. Our joy is found in Christ. It's not found in our circumstances. It's not found in other people in this life. Our joy is found in the Lord. And we rejoice in Him when? Always. Even when I'm going through a tragedy. Even when I'm going through a heartache. Even when I'm suffering through a loss. God expects me to rejoice, even though my heart wants to weep. And folks, the answer is yes. We are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. By the way, not every event of life and every change of life is going to bring joy. It's not going to bring happiness. There are tragedies. There are heartaches. But in those times, still, I find a joy in Him, to rejoice in the Lord. He is to be my delight. Verse 5 gives me the reminder that others are watching, so I'm told, let my moderation be known unto all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. The word moderation there speaks of a reasonableness, a sweetness of spirit towards others. Why? Because God is at hand. I can rejoice in Him because the Lord is always near. So I'm told in verse 6 that I am to be anxious for nothing, not one thing. Instead, in everything by my prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, letting my requests be made known unto God. And He then gives to me in those times a peace that passes understanding. Again, in the times where I would want to weep, I am to rejoice. I am to bring my prayers, my supplications, and my thankfulness unto my God. And God says, it is then that I promise to provide you with a peace that is beyond your human comprehension. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I can walk through the difficulties of life and the changes of life, even the greatest of tragedies, with dignity and grace, because I have learned to rejoice in my God. I have found my joy in Him and Him alone. God calls us to rejoice in Him. Go back with me now to Psalm 37, if you would. Psalm 37. Another truth that I want us to see about how we handle the changes of life with dignity, with grace. Psalm 37, beginning in verse 1, we read these words. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man which bringeth wicked devices to pass. Would you jump down with me to verse 23? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The third thing that we want to see this morning as we seek to handle the tragedies and difficulties of life with grace and dignity, folks, is that you and I must learn to rest in the Lord even when sleep eludes us. We are called to rest in the Lord and to wait patiently for him. Ever had a change, a trial, a difficulty, a tragedy that just kind of robs you of sleep? Ever have those times in life where you are woken up in the middle of the night and all your heart is filled with perhaps the cares of what you're going through or the tragedies that you're dealing with, and it's just hard to get the rest and sleep that you need? Physically speaking, we all go through those times. And God's word tells us that we must learn to rest in the Lord. That's a spiritual rest. Even when that physical sleep at times eludes us. Psalm 37 really is the testimony of David, a man who knew something about tragedy, yet at the end of his life, he was able to reflect on the goodness of God and leave us some wonderful and practical advice. Tragedy, as we know, causes many to fret. It causes us to be filled with anxiety, to be overcome with the cares of this world. Yet God says that in the midst of all that we go through, we must learn to not be anxious, to not fret, to not be filled with the cares of this world, but again, to instead trust in the Lord, verse 3. To delight in him, verse 4. To commit our way unto him. And verse 7 says, to rest in the Lord. That word, rest, literally, folks, means to silence. To be silent, to be still, to be quiet, to rest. Sometimes I say things like this to my wife in the midst of some of these times. I'll say it like this. Sometimes I just can't get my mind to shut off. It's annoying sometimes. It really is. Perhaps you've gone through some of those. You just can't get your mind to quiet. God says we must learn to quiet our minds, to rest in him. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. To be still, to be silent before the Lord. Our tendency is to run with our anxiety, with our cares, questioning God and questioning others. Instead, we must learn to sit quietly before the Lord. Peter puts it this way, cast all of your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Our cares, our burdens are to be rolled unto our God, and we must learn to rest in him, to trust in him, to rejoice in our God. He cares for us. Aren't you glad that the word of God tells us that when we rest in the Lord, that he gives to his beloved sleep? God desires that we get the rest that our bodies need. And so David in verse 23 reminds us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And by the way, he delights in your ways and in mine. Even when we fall, he will not cast us down forever because the Lord upholds us by his hand. David has said, I've looked back over all my life. The righteous are never forsaken and their seed never begs bread. So we are called upon to rest in the Lord, even when it's hard for us to sleep. Even when those events lead to things such as the tragedy of death, can I remind you that God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And in those times, he calls you and I to rest in him, to wait upon the Lord. If you would now, let's flip back to the New Testament, to the book of Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 3. As we continue to look for these principles to help us walk through and accept the changes of life with the grace and dignity that God would have us to. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." In Colossians chapter 3, within these first few verses, Paul is going to give us yet another principle for us to live by in the midst of the changes and the difficulties of life. In this third chapter, Paul begins to practically apply the doctrines that he has been laying out for us in the first two chapters of this wonderful book. By the way, the book of Colossians, in many ways, has the same theme as the book of Hebrews. It is really written to showcase to us the Lord Jesus Christ and to showcase to us that he is the one preeminent above all others. So Paul desires that you and I would see Christ, to make him preeminent within our lives, our home, within the church. And in doing so, he now comes to us in chapter 3, and he begins to lay out the practical outworking of such a theme. And in these opening verses, Paul expresses three thoughts that help us to accept the times of change graciously as we make Christ the one preeminent in our lives. And the folks, the principle that I want you to see here this morning is this: in times of change, we must look past the temporal and focus on that which is eternal. Look at the verses again. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." Paul tells us in these verses that you and I have the responsibility to seek those things which are heavenly. He says to the church of Colossae that since they have been risen with Christ, again, it says in verse 1, "If ye then be risen," the word there really could be "since," or you could interpret it this way: "If ye then been risen with Christ," and you are, is a matter of certainty in this fact. Because you are saved, because you are part of the child, you are a child of God, you are part of his family, because you have been redeemed from this sin-cursed world, seek that which is heavenly. The Lord Jesus said it this way while on the earth: "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you." Your tendency and my tendency, folks, is to focus on that which is temporal, that which is of the earth. And by the way, that makes sense because that's what we can see, that's what we can smell, that's what we can touch and handle, that's what we can comprehend and understand. But folks, you and I were not called to just focus on that which is temporal. In fact, we are called to a higher life. We are to be focused on that which is eternal. To live each day in every circumstance that God ordains for you and for me with eternity's values in view. We are to be seeking to lay up treasures in heaven. And by the way, you're making that choice every day to either lay up for yourself treasures on earth or you're laying up treasures in heaven. Folks, can I tell you why sometimes we suffer with such great losses and where the pain sometimes really comes from? Much of our loss, I think, comes because our focus is on the temporal, and those things vanish away. We put our hopes and dreams, and we've banked our futures, our satisfaction, our joy, and our contentment on things where moth and rust corrupts, where thieves break through and steal, and we suffer a loss. When we focus on that which is eternal, no one can take those things away. And so when we have changes in our lives, changes that are difficult, changes that are hard, and they do bring heartaches, we must lift beyond that which is temporal and learn to seek that which is eternal. But I want you to note that Paul goes beyond just seeking things above. Verse 2 says, we are to set our affections on the things above. This is an intensifying of the challenge. It's not just seeking after that which is eternal, but really setting our heart on that which is eternal. It's one thing to seek for something. It's another to set your heart for it. Go back in your mind, perhaps, to the younger years of life. Maybe it was that time that you finally talked your father into the fact that it was time for you to get your first car. You wanted your freedom, you had your license, and you had some money saved up, and you wanted to have the first vehicle. And so Dad said, will he go with you? I can remember my very first car that he helped me get. And I remember walking around when we found it, I knew, boy, I hope Dad just doesn't mess this up, because that's the one I want, right? What happens is your heart got set and you had to have it in your mind. It's one thing to seek for a car, but when you finally find it and you set your heart on it, now your desires are towards that and you want to make sure that you are able to have that vehicle so that you can finally have that freedom that you've been looking for. And I know that's a simple illustration, but folks, the reality is that's what needs to happen on a spiritual level. We're not just talking about eternal in the abstract. We are really setting our affections in heaven. My heart is set there. For where your heart is, that is where your treasures will be. Where are you laying up treasure? On this earth or in heaven? Paul says we must focus on that which is eternal. And that means we must set our heart on the things above. By the way, in verse 3 and 4, there's another portion for us to consider. And that is simply this. Not only are we to seek those things which are above and set our affections on them, but verse 3 and 4 tells us that we are to stay satisfied with heavenly things. Look at what it says, verse 3 and 4. For you are dead, and your life is hid with God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Verse 3 tells us that we are dead. The idea here is that we are dead to the things of this world. Our life is hid now in Christ. We are perfectly united with him. We are identified with him. And that's precisely what Paul is saying when he wrote to the church in Galatians and said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 4 now tells me that I have a hope. And that hope is this, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Folks, my heart needs to stay satisfied in those things that are heavenly. By the way, that's why there is no sting in death. That's why there is no victory for the grave. Our hope is that of eternity. And when he is raised, we will, because he's been raised, we also will be raised in him. One final passage that I want you to see this morning, please, and that's found in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Again, Again, familiar verses to us. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How do we handle the changes of life graciously? How do we deal with the difficulties and the tragedies of life with the dignity that the Lord would have us do? Then, folks, God says that we must wait upon the Lord for our time of renewal. Folks, I want you to understand that the tragedies of life and the heartaches of life are real. We're not negating those. We're not saying that the changes are easy. We're not saying that we don't have our feelings to deal with and that there's hurt that goes along with all of those things. But in these times, as we're going through the changes, with the real emotions that exist, we have a choice as to how we go through them. We have a choice in the way that we process them. We can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not into our own understanding, or we can seek to push our way and maybe miss out on the wonderful leading and direction of the Lord. We can be seeking that which is temporal, or we can seek that which is eternal. We can rejoice in the Lord, or we can allow our hearts to be overcome with grief. And instead of knowing the peace of God that passes understanding, we can allow that grief to overcome us and fill us with bitterness and angst and anger. How do we want to handle the tragedies of life? We can rest in the Lord and be found ourselves to be spiritually refreshed as we trust Him, as we delight in Him, as we commit our way, and as we sit silently knowing that He alone is God and He will do all things well. Or we can miss out on the blessings of the Lord. Finally, folks, you and I have the wonderful opportunity to wait upon our God, knowing that He Himself will renew us. Look at what it says again. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want you to back up for just a moment, please, and understand the context in which Isaiah is here writing. Look at verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things and bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For He is strong in power, not one faileth. But I want you to note what he says in verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? They're in the midst of receiving from the Lord, really, a just and due punishment. And they offer their complaint. Why is my way hid from the Lord? My judgment passed over from my God. God responds, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. It is He who gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The way he ends that whole section is this: but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. It is God who comes alongside us in the midst of our tragedies, in the midst of the hardships, and even the changes that we really don't want to go through. And he says, I will be the one that renews you. I will give you the strength as you wait upon me. Tragedy often and changes at times brings men and women low, but God can cause us once again to soar to new heights, to mount up with wings as eagles. Tragedies tend to zap us of our strength, keep us from being able to do the things that we just normally would do. We mount up with wings as eagles. We can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. Tragedies have caused many to turn their backs upon the Lord, and instead of coming to Him to find their strength renewed. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the backdrop to the beloved hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." Horatio Spafford was a devoted Christian layman who had a successful law practice, and yet he suffered one of the greatest losses that man can experience. His only son was tragically lost. His financial holdings and investments were destroyed in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. And to get away from all of these things, he scheduled a trip with his wife and four daughters to England. And as they made their voyage, as he was finishing some things up, there was a tragedy on that ship, a collision, and his four daughters perished. As word was sent back to him to go to England now and to meet his wife, he was told that this is about the general vicinity in which this tragedy happened. And as he stood there and as he reflected upon those things, he was able to write and say, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Folks, no matter how large or small the tragedies of life are, you and I have to learn to deal with them with the dignity and grace that God allows us to, and we can do so because of the principles found in His Word. We are to trust when we cannot understand, yet we put our faith in Him. We rejoice even when we want to weep. We rest even when sleep eludes us. We learn to look past that which is temporal and focus our minds and hearts on that which is eternal. And then we wait upon the Lord, knowing that He alone is able to renew us, restore us, and help us to travel down the path that He now calls us to. I trust that you and I will take these things and ponder them and consider them within our own hearts and lives, that we might be to the praise and the honor and the glory of our Savior through the times where we go through difficulties, tragedies, and changes. Perhaps the change that we are facing as a church for you has been a difficult one. Please understand there are principles for how to handle that. Perhaps it's not as big of a deal for you right now, and perhaps another tragedy is what is on your mind and in your heart. Folks, these principles carry across every area of life, and all of us are going to have changes. Your life and my life and the things of life are but a vapor, and things quickly vanish away. To everything, there's a season, and in those seasons come change. And change at times is hard for us to deal with. But oh, that we would learn to deal with it with grace and dignity for the glory of our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who handled all of that and gave His life in fullness for you and for me. Let's pray together, please. Our Father, we thank You and praise You for the time that we've had this morning. Oh, Lord, we recognize again that as a church, we are going through events that we perhaps did not want to go through, that we did not expect, did not see on the horizon. And yet those things are now here before us. And the question is, how will we handle those changes of life? Will we do so with grace and dignity? Will we allow it to draw us closer one to another and to our God? Or will we allow it to draw us further away and bring division and heartache? Lord, we ask and pray that you would help us to deal with these things according to your word, according to the truth, and your principles that help us and guide us. Well, thank you, Lord, and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.